As we continue our study of the discussion of the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we resume our thinking of the story of the remorse of Judas, which we have pointed out to you Matthew has much more to say about than anyone else. We have discovered in the study of these interesting verses, which are somewhat of a parenthetical passage in the chapter itself, that Judas was the subject of prophecy. The most minute details of his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ were prophesied in the Scripture. Today, as we reconsider this study, we want to consider with you something about this man, Judas, that is sometimes forgotten. So we say to you that this man, Judas, who was the subject of prophecy, was an individual who was different than ordinary mortals, but different because he was in a class by himself. He was different from ordinary mortals in that he was selected for the task that was laid upon his shoulders. I emphasize that. Because all too often people pass by the lessons which they might learn from the life of Judas by saying that Judas was different and that he can't be compared to anyone else. His difference was that he was selected for a certain task. I want to show you, if I can, by examining Judas in the Word of God, that he was not different from anyone else in the sense of opportunity. He had the same opportunity that you and I have. So I call to your attention, first of all, that Judas was selected by the Lord Jesus Christ as one of the disciples with no qualifications and no hold barred. Turn with me, please, or at least keep in mind as I read, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the apostles were these. And then down in verse 4, we look and see, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. That is, after all the disciples were listed, we find the name of Judas with the phrase, who also betrayed him. The Lord Jesus Christ selected 12 disciples, among whom was Judas. He gave to those 12 disciples, as you recall reading in Matthew chapter 10, power over unclean spirits, power to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. And if you look at that verse again, you do not see that the Lord Jesus Christ made an exception in connection with Judas. He did not say that he gave this power to all the apostles except Judas. He gave all the power. And if you read the rest of the story, down through the 15th verse, you will recognize that all of these individuals, including Judas, exercised this supernatural power. Now let us establish firmly in our minds that Judas was an apostle without any qualifications whatsoever. He shared in the ministry in every detail, as is emphasized in Acts chapter 1, verse 17, when, as we've learned, Peter emphasized that someone had to be selected to take the place of Judas. There can be no doubt that Judas was not any different from the other disciples. They did not know, up until the very last moment, that he was the one who was to betray the Lord of glory. And I emphasize that again, and say to you that you will miss the teaching in the Word of God concerning this man. If you think he was some unusual creature who could not operate on his own volition. This leads me to suggest to you a very important lesson. The fact that Judas was selected by the Lord and entered into the ministry of the apostles in the manner which I have described is absolutely no proof that he was born again. The fact that he did all of these things was no proof that he was the recipient of salvation, any more than such activity on the part of people today is proof that they have been born again. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 22, records the fact that Jesus Christ said that many people will stand in his presence one day and say, "Lord, Lord, we know you." Many people will stand in his presence in that day and say, "What, Lord? We've cast out demons, we've healed the sick, we've raised the dead. Don't you know us?" And the Lord Jesus Christ will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Let us establish firmly in our minds from the life of Judas that it is possible to be in an assembly where people are on intimate terms with the Lord Jesus Christ and still not be born again. Let us emphasize from the life of Judas that it is possible to do even miraculous works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and still not be born again. It is possible to be recognized as part of those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and still not be born again. Do not assume that such testimony of relationship and such behavior is a guarantee that an individual knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now that leads me to suggest that we examine the spiritual condition of Judas. If he was an apostle, what exactly was his spiritual condition? Could it be that any one of us, in spite of what we may think or we may have been taught, could declare with certainty that Judas was saved? Well, I'm going to say to you, and I'm convinced in my own mind, that Judas was never born again. Will you notice in John chapter 6, the paragraph which begins with verse 60, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, saying, 'This is a hard saying, and who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and they are the life. But there are some of you," notice now, "there are some of you," notice, "that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given to him of my Father.'" Notice the emphasis we attempted to place on the statement in verse 64. Jesus knew that someone would betray him. Jesus knew there was in his company those who were not born again. He related the betrayal and his statement about true salvation together so that he made a statement that could not be refuted, that Judas had never been born again, and he emphasized the reason, "No man can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ except it be given him of the Father." Yes, in one sense of the word, you and I don't just suddenly say, "Well, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ." As a matter of fact, those of us who witness for the Savior should keep in mind that it's not as simple as that. There must be a conviction for sin. There must be the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And there must be that faith which enables men to come to God. We are reminded that by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And though that word faith is usually, or the word, the gift of God, the phrase the gift of God, is usually related to the word salvation, we would like to suggest to you that it is a two-sided word, referring to faith and to salvation as well. God must give that faith if people are to be saved. Now, wait a moment. This is not teaching, as some people may think if they do not consider carefully what I'm saying, that God has selected a few people to be saved and that he turns his back on the rest of the world. It simply emphasizes the fact that no man can make himself a Christian, and by simply declaring that he's a Christian, no man can make himself a Christian by simply heeding the call to discipleship. No man can make himself a Christian by simply becoming a follower of Christ. A man who is born again is a work of God's grace and a trophy of his power, and that work of grace needed to be formed, to be performed in the heart of Judas, and it was not. Indications that Judas was an unsaved man are given in other passages of Scripture, had we the time to look at them. We simply refer to them now in John chapter 12, when the woman broke the alabaster box of ointment. It was Judas who complained, and it was John who said the reason he did was that he had the bag. He was a thief. Do you remember that Judas complained about the woman not because he was interested in economy, but because he wanted things that money could buy? We will resume in our discussion the next time we meet together another thing about the spiritual condition of Judas that should help us to understand why he did what he did, and also be a warning to us to be careful that we do not fall into Satan's snare.